Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Sean Delaney.
Look, we're $500 billion in debt right now. There is no money to keep subsidizing insurance.
There's already a cog in the much-anticipated Republican health care bill, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. The GOP lawmaker says he can't support it. Olivelle has been fined $60,000 by the Kentucky Public Service Commission, and Congressman Hal Rogers is calling for the FBI to step up its attacks on cybercrime. In sports, a slew of UK players are expected to be chosen in tonight's NBA draft. Bud Lucas' stock report, more rain and patchy fog tonight with a possible flash flood of around 57 degrees. We'll have a complete check of that weather forecast coming up after this news. The Kentucky Public Service Commission has slapped Olive Hill with a fine. According to spokesman Andrew Melankovich, the PSC has levied a $60,000 penalty against the city for failing to complete repairs mandated following an inspection 2 years ago.
And at the time of that inspection, which was in the summer of 2015, there were 10 violations noted, one of which was the presence of an unprotected, exposed, high-pressure gas main across Tigert's Creek. It's the main that feeds the city of Olive Hill's system, and you're just not supposed to have exposed gas mains. They're supposed to be buried for safety reasons.
However, Melankovich says the State Public Service Commission will suspend 90% of Olive Hill's fine if the city completes the required work within 30 days. The Ashland Daily Independent reports that Olive Hill officials are blaming a miscommunication for the safety violation. The PSC has warned them that it could increase the city's fine to as much as $1 million if it remains in noncompliance. A Carter County landfill requires more funding this year, MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
According to the Daily Independent, four northeastern Kentucky counties have pumped money, not garbage, into a Carter County landfill since it closed more than 30 years ago. The Gron landfill just outside Olive Hill is still considered open by the state, even though it hasn't accepted waste since 1982. The dump isn't officially closed because leachate, the liquids that often drain out of landfills during heavy rain, continues to emerge from the site. FiveCo Economic Development Director Kelly Ward says testing of the leachate for harmful pollutants is still necessary and money is needed to do that. Reporting from Ward State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
Kentucky's junior senator Rand Paul says he and three other Republican senators are opposed to the GOP's health care bill as it is now written. Paul told reporters in Washington the measure released today too closely resembles Obamacare.
I don't think there's anybody in America that's more against Obamacare than myself. As a physician, I've seen the ravages of it. I've traveled to 42 states running on repeal of Obamacare. I just didn't run on Obamacare Lite. I didn't run on replacing it with more government programs. I didn't run on allowing the death spiral of Obamacare to continue just to subsidize it with taxpayer money.
Paul says the U.S. is $500 billion in debt and can't afford continued health care subsidies. He hopes the plan will be changed so that he and the other Republican senators can support it. State Representative Kim Moser believes it's possible to craft a medical marijuana bill for Kentucky that incorporates the best elements of similar legislation from other states. The Republican lawmaker serves on the House Health and Welfare Committee and is director of the Northern Kentucky Office of Drug Control Policy. She's quick to point out, however, more research on the issue is probably needed before Kentucky writes its own measure.
It has not been regulated and standardized the way that we all assume that it will be. I think that, you know, you can look at the Rocky Mountain HIDA report and see the early use of marijuana by children younger and younger. There are damaging properties about THC that we need to understand.
Moser made her comments at a hearing in Frankfort Wednesday after Senator Morgan McGarvey made a pitch for lifting Kentucky's prohibition on medical marijuana. The animal shelters in many Kentucky counties lack funding, resources, and training to keep stray and abandoned animals healthy. That's what the Kentucky director for the U.S. Humane Society told state lawmakers in Frankfort this week. Catherine Callahan says it's hard for many smaller facilities to meet the state minimum standards.
Some counties do not purchase vaccines or deworming agents, citing the lack of financial resources, and immature animals are exposed to potentially fatal diseases and parasites. Volunteers and rescue organizations raise funds or pay from their own pockets and donate those vaccines to local shelters or pay for veterinary care when possible.
But Callahan says that public-private partnership is not sustainable over the long term. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevin says even though it will be more costly to staff and maintain, the county's new detention center will eventually be a good deal for the local taxpayers. While the county's current jail has 78 beds, the new $18 million facility will have 275. Blevins notes that since Rowan already has agreements in place to hold prisoners from the state and six nearby counties in addition to its own inmates, the $35 a day those entities will pay his county to house each of their inmates will create a lot of new revenue as soon as the cells in the new jail are filled.
The sooner the better, because then you can actually start bringing more money in. We think it'll be it'd be some more utilities, but not as percentage-wise, not as high a bill. And, of course, you'll have a little larger food bill, a little larger employment with it. But hopefully we'll be bringing in some money.
Rowan County annually spends about $1.1 million on its jail budget. Blevins thinks the new detention center will decrease that figure to under $500,000. The facility is expected to open in January. Renovations are nearly complete at the Jenny Wiley State Resort Park Lodge in Prestonsburg, which was damaged last year by a fire. A statement from the Kentucky State Parks says state and local officials held a ribbon-cutting ceremony yesterday for the May Lodge, which was damaged in March 2016. While rooms remained open for the renovation, the park's restaurant, and lounge were moved to the conference center. No one was injured in the blaze, which fire investigators say started in an electrical panel. Congressman Hal Rogers calls it, quote, an enormous risk to the economy and national security. The Pulaski County Republican is talking about cybercrime, and he's asking the FBI to crack down on it more aggressively. Rogers says a CNBC report estimates that cybercrime costs the global economy $450 billion annually.
In 2016, over 2 billion personal records were stolen. Over 100 million Americans had their medical records stolen. Five out of every six large American companies were targeted by cyber attackers in 2014, a 40% increase over the year before.
Rogers made his comments to the acting director of the FBI this week at a hearing on the agency's fiscal 2018 budget. Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey says members of the House and Senate can be better protected if the District of Columbia is forced to recognize the concealed and carry laws passed in the other states. The Garrison Republican appeared today on C-SPAN's Washington Journal to talk about the issue. He's introducing legislation in the House calling for just that.
D.C. is sort of an anomaly in that it doesn't recognize any state's concealed carry permit. So I think this is just a common sense step that doesn't cost any money, because there are some discussions in the Capitol this week about how do you protect the other 98% of congressmen who don't currently have security details.
Massey serves on the House Government Oversight Committee, which has jurisdiction over the District of Columbia. Kentucky Auditor Mike Harmon says overly rosy tax revenue projections for Louisville's KFC Yum Center have left taxpayers on the hook. As WUKY's Josh James reports, the auditor addressed a state oversight committee this week.
Harmon told lawmakers the tax increment financing, or TIF, picture submitted at the outset of the Yum Center project hasn't materialized as promised. Under TIF agreements, a fraction of the sales and property taxes generated within a specific area are funneled back into the project. But the auditor says Yum projections were skewed by the inclusion of 16 years' worth of sales tax data going back to a sales tax increase in 1990. Now, three-fourths of the venue's operating dollars come from either the TIF or a yearly Louisville Metro government contribution to the tune of nearly $10 million. That coincides with a Yum Center deal that's netted the University of Louisville Athletic Association huge gains, prompting this comment from Senator Chris McDaniel.
You open an arena, and the Athletic Association sees an annual increase of $15 million in revenue. The taxpayers are being fleeced. Period.
The auditor declined to speculate on the intentions of the deal's architects, but he is urging all those connected to the Yum Center to renew their commitments to the venue. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Four people have pleaded guilty in federal court in connection with the 2016 overdose and death of a woman in Mason County. According to the Maysville Ledger Independent, 33-year-old Joshua Jett, 24-year-old Christian Bellamy, 26-year-old Anthony Mason, and 31-year-old Tiffany Prince were all handed down multiple drug charges in the death of Amanda Borgman. Borgman was found dead near the Orangeburg Fire Department on August 1st. Her death was caused by an overdose of fentanyl and morphine. All four are held in the Campbell County Detention Center. Kentucky Attorney General Andy Beshear says he's joining other attorneys general to investigate whether drug manufacturers contributed to the nation's opioid epidemic. Beshear said Wednesday that the bipartisan group is using its investigative powers, including subpoenas for documents and testimony, as part of the probe. Prescription and illicit opioids are the main driver of drug overdose deaths in Kentucky and nationwide. Beshear's office says opioids were involved in over 33,000 deaths in the U.S. in 2015. Beshear's announcement that he's participating in the multi-state investigation came on the same day Missouri's attorney general sued three pharmaceutical companies. Josh Halley said a campaign of fraud and deception by the companies led to an opioid crisis in his state. State Senator Robin Webb admits that performance-based funding will be challenging for Morehead State University. However, the Grayson Democrat says the school has been tested many times during its history and weathered the storm.
Rest assured, people like myself and Senator Stivers and others will be very mindful as we progress with performance-based funding. And Senator Gibbons, I've had discussions with him, and I know his heart, and I know his higher education all over has challenges to face, and I think we are up to the task both legislatively and administratively here.
State Senator Robin Webb admits that performance-based funding will be challenging for Morehead State University. However, the Grayson Democrat says the school has been, Webb was referring to Republican State Senator David Givens, who crafted the performance-based funding formula. It will provide money to universities based on their enrollment and the number and type of degrees they award each year. Morehead State University and Bluegrass Community and Technical College in Lexington will enter a joint admission and reverse transfer agreement on Monday. Under the first part of the deal, academic advising and admissions counseling will be provided to BCTC students who are preparing to transfer to MSU. The second part of it will help students who've already transferred to Morehead still earn their associate's degrees from BCTC. Jen Timmerman is Morehead State's Director of Transition Services.
We've already had a long-standing, very successful partnership with Bluegrass on various things, whether it's events or programs or particular majors. And so it was really just a no-brainer to expand this program out to them because we have that advisor who's based there. He sees students throughout the week to advise and help them with the admissions portion.
Timmerman says the agreement is similar to a successful partnership that MSU already has in place with Ashland Community and Technical College. A Kentucky Ethics Commission says it will appeal a federal judge's order allowing lobbyists to donate to political campaigns. Here's Paul Miles.
The Kentucky Legislative Ethics Commission voted to appeal the lawsuit. The chairman of the commission saying the issue was too important not to appeal. Earlier this month, a federal judge struck down most of Kentucky's ethics law regulating contact between lawmakers and lobbyists. The judge ruling the state's ban on lobbyists giving gifts to lawmakers and making political donations violated their First Amendment rights. I'm Paul Miles.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight, showers are likely, along with possible rumble of thunder early, then cloudy skies after midnight, low of around 68 degrees, chance of rain will be at 100%. Localized flooding is possible. Tomorrow, strong thunderstorms are likely, high of around 81 degrees, chance of rain at 80%, localized flooding will also be possible. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms likely, rainfall will be locally heavy at times, low of around 63 degrees, chance of rain again at 100%. 2 to 3 inches of rain is expected. Expect flooding also. On Saturday, sunshine and clouds mixed, high of around 80 degrees. On Saturday, mostly cloudy skies early, and then partly cloudy skies after midnight, low of around 55. On Sunday, plentiful sunshine, high of around 77. And on Sunday night, a mostly clear sky, low of around 55 degrees. Right now in Ashland, it's 80 degrees. In Flemingsburg, it's 75 degrees. 74 degrees in Inez, 72 degrees in Lexington and Winchester. And right now, it's 75 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment this afternoon, the wealthiest Kentuckians would benefit if Congress approves the proposed American Health Care Act. The Kentucky News Connection's Mary Sherman reports.
Kentucky's millionaires could see an average tax cut of close to $48,000 a year if the American Health Care Act becomes law, according to a new analysis. Those tax cuts would be paid for in part by removing roughly 250,000 Kentuckians from health insurance rolls. Alan Essig with the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy says data from the Congressional Budget Office confirms that the health bill that cleared the U.S. House is less about health policy than tax breaks for the top 3% of U.S. earners.
The end result is 23 million people losing health care coverage. The reason for that is to pay for $660 billion worth of tax cuts that overwhelmingly go to the wealthiest Americans.
Under the Affordable Care Act, low and moderate income Americans have been able to get coverage due to a tax on individuals making more than $200,000 a year or $250,000 for couples filing jointly. Supporters of the AHCA say cuts to Medicaid and reversing the program's expansion would reduce the federal deficit and lower health care costs. Essex says the majority of Medicaid recipients that could be impacted by cuts would be the elderly, people with disabilities, pregnant women and children. He adds insurance premiums for an average 64-year-old with an income of $27,000 would rise from $1,700 to more than $16,000 a year. Essex warns bankruptcies due to medical bills, which have gone down under Obamacare, could be back on the rise.
Real people will end up losing their health care coverage. That will impact people's health, people's lives, and people's bank books. We're going to be going back to where we were, which I don't think is where anyone wants to go.
The U.S. Senate has not made its version of the health bill public and has promised to bring it to a vote before the July recess. This is Mary Sherman, Kentucky News Connection.
4:47 the time. You're tuned in to Morehead State Public Radio at 90.3 FM. Good to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. All Things Considered is coming up at 5 o'clock. And between now and then, Braxton has been keeping an eye on the sports world. He's coming up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The NBA draft is set for tonight at 7 at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Kentucky will have 8 eligible players for selection, including freshman point guard De'Aaron Fox.
I saw a lot of guys being able to go one and done. When you're in high school, people start doing mock drafts, and people think I can go one and done. Going to Kentucky, I felt like I had a good year. And Coach Cal felt like I was good enough to go, so I went.
Other UK players hoping to hear their names called are Malik Monk, Bam Adebayo, Dominique Hawkins, Isaiah Briscoe, Isaac Humphries, Michael Mulder, and Derek Willis. Louisville will be represented by Donovan Mitchell, Dinga Dell, and Jalen Johnson. Philadelphia will pick first tonight, followed by the Lakers, Boston, Phoenix, and Sacramento. Some notable reports from the NBA as the draft approaches. The New York Knicks and Boston Celtics are engaged in trade talks that would send Knicks star Kristaps Porzingis to Boston for the third pick in tonight's draft. Jay Williams of ESPN says he's been told by a prospect in the draft that Knicks president Phil Jackson kept falling asleep during his workout with the team, which may explain why the Knicks are trying to trade Porzingis. The San Antonio Spurs are in trade talks with multiple teams to trade big man LaMarcus Aldridge for a top 10 pick in tonight's draft. And according to Adrian Wojnarowski of The Vertical, the Timberwolves are engaged in trade talks with the Indiana Pacers and Chicago Bulls, trying to trade for either Paul George or Jimmy Butler. College coaches from around the country have been flocking to Colorado Springs to watch the U.S. Under-19 team work out in preparation for the upcoming World Cup games in Egypt. One of the players getting a lot of looks is 6'10 power forward Jordan Brown of Roseville, California. While the five-star recruit has been wooed hard by the likes of Cal, Nevada, Oregon, Gonzaga, and St. John's, he recently told Kentucky.com that UK hasn't shown him much love so far.
Kentucky, I think my dad's been in touch with like one of their assistant coaches, but I haven't really got in contact with them that much.
However, Brown quickly adds that he'd be interested in Kentucky if the Cats come calling. During his 3 years in high school, Brown has averaged 25 points and 14 rebounds a game. After this week of workouts, the final 12-man roster has been set for that U.S. Under-19 team. Kentucky players Hamidou Diallo and P.J. Washington both made the team, along with current U.K. recruits Emmanuel Quickly, Cameron Reddish, and Romeo Langford. Kentucky head coach John Calipari is coaching the team in the World Cup games and says while the 12 players on the team are talented, they have a major disadvantage.
Yeah, Brazil and Argentina and these teams that have been together for 12 years, 10 years, these teams will play against have been together for maybe 3 or 4 years. They run their stuff. They know what they're doing. They run great patterns. And you got your team together for like 5 days of practice. And then you're throwing it up on a national, worldwide stage, international stage. And that's the challenge.
Some other notable players who made the roster, UNLV's Brandon McCoy, Peyton Pritchard of Oregon, and Auburn's Austin Wiley. The FIBA World Cup is July the 1st through the 9th in Egypt. Louisville plays TCU tonight at 8 as part of the College World Series in Omaha. Already with one loss in the double elimination tournament, Coach Dan McDonald's Cardinals need to beat the Horned Frogs if they want to continue their season.
I think they got to be excited. I know I'm excited. I got a lot of respect for TCU. I'm assuming we're facing the highest draft pick that went to college last year. And, it's a great opportunity. You know, it's Louisville TCU on a Thursday night. I mean, I know I'm excited about it. So, you know, we just got to take advantage of the opportunity we have and go out there and compete against a really good team.
TCU will likely throw right-hander Shane Baz at Louisville. Baz was taken by the Pittsburgh Pirates as the 12th overall selection in the recent Major League Draft. A Morehead State player will take part in college baseball's upcoming home run derby. MSPR's Chuck Mirage reports.
Sophomore outfielder Nico Hultsizer will be one of six power hitters participating in the long ball hitting contest at TD America Trade Park in Omaha at 9 p.m. July 1st. Hultsizer, the OVC's co-player of the year and a member of several All-America teams,